Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello! Welcome to episode 85, Bits and Pieces. That's what my quilting feels like right now. I'm just doing it in bits and pieces. I have also been quilting the Hexagon Garden Quilt by using tracing paper and sewing, quilting through the tracing paper. And when you tear off, the tracing paper from what you've quilted, it ends up in bits and pieces. So I have little bits and pieces of tracing paper all over my sewing space. It's okay. It's an interesting way to quilt. I have mixed feelings about it. You feel a little bit like it's odd because you can't really, once you sew your stitches, you can't really see them because the tracing paper is still there. So your needle has broken through the tracing paper, but you can't quite see through the paper to your stitches, which in this case is probably all for the best. It's all a process. It's all a process. It's been a pretty good week. I did a number of quilt diaries, so you can hear all about it. I'm going to actually try to make this introduction short. This is not my most stellar episode. So, you know, this is one where you should probably be doing the dishes while you're listening. My brain is just feels a little bit scattered, I think. It's been a scattered week, not a bad week, and in some ways a very nice week. I finally got my manuscript back from my editor, ready to revise, and I love to revise, so that's been good. You know, part of it is the man has a different work schedule. He's working a lot at night. He is training somebody. You know, his job is part of his job is covering the state legislature when it's in session. It's about to be in session. He is the managing editor of an email subscription service that covers state, among other things, the state legislature. And so he is training someone for when the legislature comes in, which it just started up, but hasn't really gotten full throttle, full steam ahead. In any event, all this to say is that for the most part, he is not going into the office until like 2 in the afternoon, and some days he doesn't go in. He's around a lot, and that, you know, and the man is wonderful company. I love him, but it throws me off. I think I have felt the last few weeks just thrown off my stride by having someone else at home. Yes, I'm thinking about what will retirement be like? Well, retirement will be fine because I won't be trying to work. It's also weird because as a writer, I haven't been doing much writing until recently because I've been waiting for this manuscript to come back, and it's hard to start a new project when you're waiting for an old project to be resolved. But I feel like I should be working. When someone else is in the house, I feel like I have to I'm working, when I'd really probably be better off just cleaning the kitchen. So that's got my brain scattered, feeling very much out of a routine. And even when I finally got the manuscript back, which I got it on Monday, and I really sat down Tuesday and started taking notes and going through the manuscript with my editor's notes and all of those things, and it still just felt kind of odd because I love doing that. I love working in the morning. I work for several hours in the morning and then having lunch and, you know, and when the weather's nice, sitting on the screen porch and reading the paper. But, you know, that's hard to do when the man's like wanting to talk politics, and we've had a lot of politics going on here in North Carolina. And, you know, what can you say? Just, I don't want to talk. You can't say. It hurts people's feelings. When you're just like, you know what? I've been deep in my mind working all morning, and now I just want to enjoy the paper and eat my turkey wrap and what have you. And scattered. Have the scattered brain. And now I'm going on too long about it because I'm just going on a long time. So yes, I'm scattered. I think there's a lot of scatteredness in this week's episode. I'm hoping that my brain will congeal a little bit this next week. I want to thank everyone who has stopped by to make a comment this past week. I would love to hear from you. Even though I am all scattered and slipshod this week, go ahead and still leave me a comment, a nice comment. You can do so at one of two blog spaces. One is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com, and the other is the offkilterquilt.wordpress.com. Either one of these. Most people are leaving comments over at the WordPress site, but I read both sites, so come on by. The pictures are at the WordPress site, so go check those out. I want to thank Noni and Victoria for leaving comments over at the Podbean site. And Victoria gave me a link to a neat site about feathering. And, you know, I decided to go ahead and feather. I'm quilting the hexagon garden quilt, doing feathers, doing them traditionally, which means backtracking. And Victoria sent me a link to a site that shows you how to do feathers where you're actually not backtracking, you're leaving a space, a slight space in between the feathers. And that allows you to use more decorative threads if you want to, a thicker thread. And in retrospect, I kind of wish, not, I don't have a desire to use a decorative thread, but you know, having a little space and not backtracking. Backtracking is hard. I feel this is a real learning experience. I talk about it in the Quilt Diaries. I won't go on about it now. But anyway, Victoria, I certainly do appreciate the link to that site. Noni commented that she herself is not a big feather fan, finds them overrated, though admits she probably needs to learn to do them. It's just one of those skills, that one of those experience you have to have if you're going to machine quilt. Sooner or later, you got to try the feathers. I'm trying them. They're interesting. I miss stippling. I want to say thanks to all the folks who came over to the WordPress site. Thank you, Tori and Terry and Heather, Quilter Caroline, and Kelly the Fifth. So I appreciate everyone taking the time out of your busy schedule to come over and say hello. I hope this finds you doing well. I'm doing really fine. I don't want to suggest that I'm doing anything other than fine. Just got the scattered brain. Hope your brain is all held together, even if you're having to use scotch tape to make that happen. All right then, on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary, day one. It's Saturday, Cinco de Mayo, 2012. I have been doing some quilting on the hexagon garden quilt. Here's how I'm doing it. Tracing paper. That's right, tracing paper. What happened? Yesterday at Joann's, had some coupons, looking at books, and found this, actually not a book, but a box, called Follow the Line Quilting Designs by Mary Covey. It's a That Patchwork Place deal. And there is a booklet inside. It's a box. You open it up, there's a booklet, and then there are 48 pages worth of patterns for quilting, for borders and blocks. And the little book that it comes with gives you instructions how to do what you need to do to use these patterns. And one of the suggestions is trace the patterns onto tracing paper and then sew through the tracing paper. Now, they recommend special quilty tracing paper, but when I went back to Joann's today, they don't have it. They don't have special quilty tracing paper, so I just got regular kids tracing paper, and I came home and I traced my half wreath. That's what we're calling this design. And I assembled a horizontal line of traced feathered half wreaths on my quilt using painter's tape. I affixed the patterns, these tracing paper, to the quilt, and I quilted. And my shoulders and neck are very tired, but it turned out. The quilting is not beautiful, but you know, I've been thinking to myself all day, A, the muggles don't know. B, when you wash the quilt and the quilt puckers a little bit, the most egregious errors, I think, will be covered up. C, the quilt is fairly dark. The thread is dark, so it actually doesn't show that much. And what you do see looks fine. But with the feathers, I haven't figured out. So now I've done about 5 feathered half wreaths. The pattern I chose, I got offline, and if I had to do it all over again, I would have modified it to make it much simpler. It's kind of funky. It's not just straight out feathering. It's very attractive, and I think more attractive than just a straight out feathered
half wreath, but it's a little bit complicated. And you know, one of the things with quilting, okay, I just got interrupted by Will. It's late. He should be in bed. He scored the winning goal today in lacrosse. Woohoo! Anyway, I don't remember where I was. So the muggles won't know. It actually looks okay. Oh, I know where I was. With the machine quilting, I think there are a lot, if you're not meandering and if you're not stippling, and part of me is like, why not? I love how stippling looks. I love meandering. I don't know why I'm not doing it. I'm just not, because I'm trying to learn new things. But you end up, certainly, at least with this pattern, going over the same areas. So doubling up, layering thread as you're going back and forth. And that is, it can be a little difficult to stay on the line. And for that reason, the front actually looks better than the back. The back, if you look at the quilting in the back, you can see, it's the front is much more varied. It's much more patchwork than the back. And so the back, you have a better opportunity to really examine the quilting. You're like, But the only way I'm going to learn how to do this is practice it. And I don't really just want to sit around doing practice sandwiches. This is a quilt I've made from scraps. It's kind of funky. I like it very much. I'm just going to quilt it. In some ways, it's all practice. You know, it's all practice for the great quilting festival in the sky. And I'm just not going to, I just don't feel like I have to have it perfect. I feel like, why not learn on a quilt? Because I don't. I just don't want to sit around doing quilt sandwiches all day. And this is fun. The one thing, and this may be, I wonder if I found some tracing paper that is specifically for this, and I know there is such paper because the book recommends a particular brand, if it would not come off more easily. That's the only thing, is I was really having to like pick out little pieces of paper from under stitches, and I felt I was compromising the stitches a bit by doing that. So, all right, Will is coming back. He needs to use the computer for something. I just want to share that. If I sound tired, I am tired. I've been up early. I was up early and in the sun for part of the morning watching a lacrosse game. So I'm tired and I have allergies, but I just wanted to share while I was still thinking. So I'll be back. Quilt Diary Day 2. You know what Saturday is? It's my podcast anniversary. That's right, 2 years on May 12th, which I think is Saturday. Anyway, I'll figure out some sort of giveaway to do to celebrate. I can't do that now because I'm still just in a whirl. I got my edited manuscript back from my editor on Monday. Yay, kind of finally. She's very busy. She keeps getting promoted, which is great in a lot of ways and good for me in a lot of ways to have someone who's pretty uppity up there on my side. And at the same time, I think she's a lot busier. So got this manuscript back, so I'm excited about that, though even though, you know, there's only a few weeks before the end of school, but I don't have a ton of revising to do. I'm just glad to be back into the getting up, getting the kids to school, eating breakfast, walking the dog, sitting down to write routine. It's very nice, and I'm being very protective of my mornings right now and not signing up to do anything or making plans to go to coffee. I can do stuff in the afternoons before I go pick up the boys from school. So, but I'm trying to keep mornings sacrosanct. Anyway, it still feels a little, I think partly things feel a little crazy because I am doing a lot of gardening, still working on getting the perennial beds in, still buying too many plants, although I am buying perennials, and so it's an investment for the future. But that I'm trying to really get ahead of the weed situation. The man, not so big on weeding, and he does a huge vegetable garden, and I'm the one who goes in and weeds. But but what I have been doing primarily since we last spoke is quilting hexagon garden quilt, and I'm getting better. This is, I think, probably the most difficult quilting design I've done. Again, it's sort of the half feather wreath, the the feather half wreath, whatever I was calling it last time, it's still that. And it is, I will take a picture and try to give you some scale, but it's not a huge, it's not a big pattern. It's not intricate, but it's the most, again, the most difficult thing I've done, and it's fun. I can only really do a couple at a time. It is taking, it's a lot of strain on my neck. I also feel like I'm getting better at it. I'm getting more practiced at it, and it looks good. But there's just, you know, it's hard, and I keep thinking, wow, I wish I had a long arm machine, which is a really dumb thing to wish for because I'm not getting one here in this lifetime. But it's a little bit difficult to do on my machine. But I'm learning, and I'm growing is what I'm doing. I am growing. I think tomorrow, this is, again, great reason to have a podcast. I'm like, man, I got to have more to talk about. So I think maybe tomorrow I am going to. I still haven't finished a block for Rick Starquilt. I kind of got on it and have got a lot of stuff cut out, have the star point stuff cut out, and then I didn't do a very good job sewing on the star points, and so I'm back at square one with that. But I'm thinking tomorrow, if I have time in the afternoon, and I should, I will probably try to get one of those blocks together. And also my block of the month, because my May block of the month is going to be here any second, and I don't want to get behind on those. I guess that could be a real, can't think of the word for it, but just problem, I guess, with being in a block of the month club. They could start piling up, and I don't want that to happen. I'm excited to see how, each month, how the quilt is developing. Let's see what else to tell you. Well, you know, I'm in North Carolina, and yesterday we had our big vote on Amendment 1, which essentially said marriage is to be between a man and a woman. We already have a law that says that. Gay marriage is actually already illegal in North Carolina, but some really friendly, fun folks decided why not make an amendment. And they won. And I voted against it. I am for families of whatever variety they come in, and I support gay marriage. And I don't hate people who don't support gay marriage. I don't think they're bad people. I think a lot of people, I think it's interesting to me. There's so much bitterness aimed at North Carolina. If you go on Facebook, all the people from North Carolina are like, oh, I'm so embarrassed to be from North Carolina. And people are not are pointing their finger, or in some cases, just one finger at us. The man said on his Facebook account, there somebody had basically taken a picture of themselves shooting the bird and said, here you go, North Carolina. A friend of mine who's up in Maryland basically, you know, said North Carolina, you know, you, and then used an expletive, which essentially is a small orifice in the part of the body we sit on. Yes, she referred to us North Carolinians, not just, you know, all of us, as that particular part of the body. And I actually responded to her and said that I was offended by that. That, you know, a lot of people in the state voted no. You know, and I didn't say this, but this is the thing you can't say. Again, I support gay marriage. I have gay friends. I'm all about family. I'm all about family values. I think the family is an important unit in civilization. But again, I don't think people who voted yes are like horrible, terrible, no good people. And yet that's where we've come to in this country. If someone disagrees with you on an issue like that, well, they're just bigots and horrible and ignorant and have too many chromosomes, and they marry their cousin. And you're just like, wow, there is so much hate. Wasn't that the problem to begin with? Aren't we supposed to love one another? I mean, isn't that a big progressive idea? Love, love, love. But apparently not. Anyway, I finally posted myself because I just got tired of it. I got tired of all these people from North Carolina going, I'm so embarrassed. You know, 40% of North Carolinians voted against this amendment. And nobody seems to realize how huge that is. That's a big number for a rural state, a rural religious state. And we have 100 counties, and in every single county, people voted no. People whose preacher said you have to vote yes voted their conscience and voted no. And I think that's great. I am proud to be a North Carolinian. This is a place, people are making progress here. People don't understand. And I think it's because North Carolina is traditionally Democrat. Democrats used to be actually the more conservative party back in the day. Republicans were the party of Lincoln. We've got a lot of blue dog Democrats in this state. Those are Democrats who would vote Democrat even if the candidate was blue dog. We still got those. And that's big, you know. And so Obama won. A lot of students, a lot of activity. A lot of activists out for Obama, and a lot of people just vote Democrat. And so I think maybe people were surprised by this vote. I wasn't surprised by it. I was thrilled that 40% of the people voted against the amendment. I thought that was great. More progress needs to be made, and it will be made. It will be made. This is actually a state of pretty smart people, and that I really... Here's what, and this is the larger issue for me. I'm sorry, I'm completely going off on a rant, but the larger issue for me is that people think it's okay to look at rural people, at religious people, at country people, at farming people, at southern people, and go, well, of course you're ignorant. And you're just like, really? You feel that comfortable thinking that way? You feel comfortable saying that? You feel comfortable knowing that you know the inside of someone's heart and the inside of someone's head? That, to me, is ignorant. And I've just had enough of it. I've had enough. I've had enough hate. I just have. I'm against it. And that's my motto. I'm against hate of all forms, wherever it comes from. Enough. We've had enough of this. We need to move on. So I will move on too. But I just wanted to share that. It's been a very emotional day for a lot of people. And and me too, because I just can't deal with it. I can't deal with all this hatred from all sides. We're just in a bad, bad place. And we need to suck it up and get over it. Enough. I said enough. All right. Well, what else do I have to tell you? I don't know if I have anything else quilty to tell you. The garden is coming along fine. I've got all my containers planted, and then the perennial bed. My Shasta daisies are coming up. I'm excited about that. I've bought a lot of plants, but I am planting. I planted some coreopsis and a bunch of that. And I'm about to plant some thyme, which is not a perennial, but I think it'll look nice. But everything looks good. My neighbor gave me some wonderful sage, and I think it had a little shock when it was transplanted, and so the man cut it back, and now it seems to be coming back. So I'm really enjoying the garden. I am reading some good books. I think I mentioned last week that I was reading Caleb's Crossing by Geraldine Brooks, who wrote The Wonderful March, and I'm reading that for my book club. I'm just started it, and it's good. It really reminds me of The Witch of Blackbird Pond, if you remember that wonderful children's novel by, I think it's Elizabeth George Spear, that won a Newbery many years ago. But Caleb's Crossing is set in a similar setting. Caleb's Crossing is in Cape Cod, and it's a similar time, which is in the 1600s. And at the beginning of Caleb's Crossing, the narrator is a 12-year-old girl. I think she ages through the book, but right now it feels very witchy of Blackbird Pondy, and I'm enjoying it. But I also picked up another book called The Right Hand Shore by Christopher Tillman. And Tillman is spelled T-I-L-G-H-M-A-N. And I'm just assuming that it's Tillman and not Tilgeman. And I read a review in the New York Times, and they had it in my library. It's a fairly new book. It just came out in the end of last month. But I will tell you, it's described as a masterful novel that confronts the dilemmas of race, family, and forbidden love in the wake of America's Civil War. It is 1920, and Edward Mason is making a call upon Miss Mary Bailey, the current owner of the legendary Mason family estate, The Retreat. Miss Mary is dying. She plans to give The Retreat to the closest direct descendant of the original immigrant owner that she can find. Edward believes that he can charm the old lady, secure the estate, and be back in Baltimore by lunchtime. Instead, over the course of a long day, he hears the stories that will forever bind him and his family to the land. He hears of Miss Mary's grandfather brutally selling all of his slaves in 1857 in order to avoid the reprisals he believes will come with emancipation. He hears, and it goes on and on. And I'm just in the second chapter. The first chapter was a long chapter. Oh man, can this guy write? I've never, you know, I can't say I never heard of him. You read the name, I'm like, I think I've heard of him. But boy, and the thing about his writing is it's transparent, which is to say it's not writing that calls attention to itself. It's just really good writing that gets you right into the story. And, you know, it's just so skillful. And, you know, I think I've talked about it. I'm always looking for novels. I want novels that tell good stories and have substance. Sometimes I just want, not, I want, I'm always looking for well-written stories. I think the hardest thing for me to find is well-written, light stories. And this is not a light story. And I'm in the second chapter right when Miss Mary's grandfather is selling off these slaves. And it is brutal. So this is not light. But, you know, and you don't want to say it's entertaining. That seems wrong about a book. You know, it's hard. You don't feel necessarily entertained by the selling of human beings in a really painful way. So I don't know what the right word is. Engaging, you know, you're really involved in the story. And so I don't know, I'll keep you updated, I'll let you know, but it's a book that I started yesterday and was reading. I tried to stay awake for as long as I could last night to read it, and just am about to go back to reading it. It's getting late. I think this is the third book. It's definitely the second. The first one is Mason's Retreat. And there may be another one about the same spot. So anyway, I'm very excited to be reading this. I'm reading also lots of books about gardening. I just got one in the mail today. I got it used, I think through Amazon. And it's the garden writings of Henry Mitchell, who wrote a garden column for the Washington Post for a long time called Earthman. And they're just delightful. He's a delightful writer, and so I've been enjoying those as well. I'm in, obviously, clearly, gardening mode. Why? Like, we need a quilter to be writing stuff like this. I don't know. It's hard, though. I mean, you could say, well, you're a writer. Why don't you do it? I'm like, yeah, I don't know what to say. So maybe it's just, maybe quilting, the impossible thing to write about. All right. Well, I am going to go read. And I hope to be back tomorrow, at least for a brief update where I can say, look, I made this block and I made that block. So you guys keep me honest. You make me feel accountable to, you know, which is good because I think it is really possible. Even with, you know, I love quilting and there's sometimes I'm very intensely involved with it. And there's the idea that I wouldn't work every day is totally foreign. And there are times like now where there are other things going on. It's kind of a busy time. And whenever I actually sit down and get to work, I'm really happy to be quilting. But it can take a little bit more to get me to my work table. And like I said, having a podcast where you feel like I need to say I did something is good because it does get me to the table. So I hope to be back to the table tomorrow and I will tell you about it and take some pictures and it will all be fabulous. So I will talk to you then.
Quilt Diary, day 3, 4, 8, one of those days. It's Thursday. It's May 10th. I got some work done today. Very happy. I went to Target and got a dark curtain rod. It's actually antique bronze. It looks almost black. And I got it for the Sawtooth Star quilt. I just had the one that I was really hoping to hang up with a stick, and that didn't work out. And then I just got a regular plain old dowel rod at Home Depot, and that didn't work. And so I bought a $6 curtain rod, and that works pretty well. I like it. I think it'll work. So I could see something. If they'd had black, I would have gotten black. But this is so dark as to appear black. And I've kept up. The man put some golden hooks, some gold colored, you know, in the wall to hang the rod. And I've left those, and they actually look fine, even though the rod is dark there, because it's a yellow wall and it just kind of blends in. So I did that, and I put together a block for Rick's star quilt and took a picture of that. and cut out the stuff for April's Block of the Month Club, which is good since May's arrived today. And I'm behind, although I love the fabric for May's. It's my favorite fabric so far. The colors are very pretty. I was hoping that I would finish April's today, but I was getting close to dinner time, and it looks a little bit complicated. So that will be a nice weekend challenge for me. Won't be going to Thimble Pleasures for anything this weekend because it is Carolina graduation weekend. It's also Duke graduation weekend. I think I'm just going to stay at home and be very quiet. You know, there could be a lot of moms and dads in town. And in fact, church this week is not at Duke Chapel because that they have the baccalaureate service. There's a couple times a year where we get kicked out of Duke Chapel and the congregation goes over to Antioch Baptist Church downtown. And I've not done that, and I don't know if I'll do that this Sunday, Mother's Day, because there are the three lacrosse games, the big lacrosse tournament on Sunday. Not happy. I don't think I will go to the first game. I actually would like to go to church, but I will probably drive over to the lacrosse tournament in Burlington, which is a little bit of a hike, a short hike from here, and watch my son play lacrosse because I am a good mom. Sacrificing my Mother's Day. There are a lot of really PO'd moms. But I guess that's it. I guess that is it for quilting news. I have had all sorts of good intentions. I did get the new American Patchwork. And I would say American Patchwork and Pacifiers. That's not right. That's an old podcast. But whatever that is that Better Homes and Gardens puts out. Bi-monthly, maybe? Got that and liked it and was going to talk about it, but still just having one of those weeks, one of those springs, having a hard time settling down to do interesting things like sit down with you and read your magazine, which I'm sure you would appreciate. Before I forget, I wanted to tell you that Cindy over at Fluffy Sheep Quilting is opening a shop, an online shop. You can go over to her blog and learn more. It's fabulous. She's fabulous. Support it. Have fun with it. Cindy, congratulations. You go. I'm going to finish up here because I still have to record my introduction. Don't know how much editing I'm going to do of the Quilt Diaries, so thank you for your forbearance. Next week I'm going to be all quippy and chirpy, and it's going to be great. You're going to love it, and I'll probably try to sit on the porch. I had today a beautiful day today. So bummed. I was supposed to take a walk with Doug, my fiddle teacher. I'm not taking fiddle lessons because of my very shoulder problems, but love Doug, and we've been taking walks, and we were supposed to walk today. Gorgeous, like 72 degrees out, sunny, beautiful day, and I went over to his house, and he wasn't there, and you know, he's 68, and so when a 68-year-old doesn't answer the door, you're like, that was a little nervous making, but he emailed later and said, "Well, I went to town and did that. I knew we had a walk planned, and then I just kind of forgot," which also maybe happens when you are friends with someone who's 68. So we've rescheduled for next week. So I was bummed though not to take a walk because we kind of ramble around, and he knows all these interesting shortcuts to here and there. Next week, but that is it for this week. I hope you've had a good week. I hope you have a great weekend, and get some quilting done. Try to make it a priority. I'm going to try to do the same thing. I will talk to you next week. See you later.